Now, today I'm here with some wonderful friends and creative people, both from Kalamazoo and beyond. And we're here to talk about the next Farmers Alley Theater production. It's an important, significant, even historic piece called Fun Home. And I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome director Kathy Moulet and the two of the lead actors in the cast, Tony Humrichhauser, who is currently with the Kalamazoo Civic as artistic director and still taking on big, wonderful roles. And our guest from outside Michigan is Michelle Micah Berg. She is from Los Angeles, California. And we're so excited to include you and have you here to talk to you and learn about your career and your approach to this wonderful new role. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And Kathy, I put some big words together with this musical. I think it debuted in 2015, roughly.
That's correct. It won the Tony in 2015.
And had it not been for Hamilton, this might be the thing we talked about completely.
Yes.
Those years.
there are those years when there's that big show, and it seems like there's always something really wonderful running at the same time. And then there are some years you go, you're going to pick a winner out of these.
Yeah, it was just a magical confluence of theater in that time period. So Fun Home, let's get some of the plot out there for our listeners. It's a contemporary piece and historic in that it was written by a woman and composed, the music composed by a woman. The cast features strong women. Is that the historic component for the most part?
Well, obviously, the fact that it won the Best Tony and the protagonist is a lesbian woman. Lisa Crone, who graduated from K College here in Kalamazoo, wrote the book and the lyrics. And then Janine Tesori wrote the music. And they both won for the music in the show. And it actually garnered 5 Tony Awards. But I think what is interesting about this particular work is that based on Alison Bechdel's graphic memoir, that was published in 2006. And it just, a graphic memoir is like cartoons.
Yeah, it's mostly
and
pictures.
And it's so fascinating to read her book. And I had not read the book prior to seeing it on Broadway. And, of course, became then very interested. And it is such a dense book with the fact that she's describing what's happening, but then we're looking at these visuals, which is so unusual. In a book, you usually have to imagine the visuals yourself. And it is just so incredibly interesting. And Lisa Crone was introduced to it, and someone said, you should write a musical about this. And she had never written a musical, but she was intrigued. So she started working on it, and she worked on it about a year and a half before she actually got together with Janine Tesori, and the two of them had never worked together before. And she said she came with an outline and ideas of how she would approach it and presented it to Janine. And she said, what do you think? And Janine said, oh, this would be very, very difficult to turn into a musical.
and she has a lot of experience.
And Lisa Crone's heart just sort of fell. And Janine said, and that's exactly why I want to do it. So basically, it is a memoir where Allison is attempting to go back over her life. She lost her father. He was 44 years old. She was 19. At a time in her life when lots of changes were happening. And she's had to try to come to terms with his life as well as his death, because she discovers so many things about him at that crucial age when he died, one of which was that he was pretty much a closeted homosexual all of her life, and she had no idea. And yet there was a very dramatic connection between the two of them. And that's pretty much what the story's about. It's a story about her father and coming to terms of acceptance and understanding. It's a beautiful, beautiful script.
And they didn't try to make the story more generic
no.
from the book. It's still mm-hmm. very much Alison Bechdel's specific father and Alison herself. I have read the graphic novel. Mm-hmm. There's it's the specifics. The where they grew up is special, and it's included in the musical. And how she interacted with her parents, specific episodes, and that's why you can't look away, because it's really true. It's honest.
It is honest, and it's heartbreaking. And it's also really hilarious. There are times that they just brilliantly have interjected this humor that just gives you those moments of laugh, let your feelings out. Allison's childhood was not an unhappy one. It isn't until she finds out these things that she realizes that, oh, everybody's life wasn't like this. Of course, she grew up in a funeral home. That's where the title comes from. The kids called it the fun home. And, you know, just like a fun house that you see in a carnival, the views are a little distorted. And really, when you think about this family, it's not like your family, but it is exactly like your family. Because when you look at a family, you think, oh, they're perfect. But you don't know what goes on behind closed doors.
Fun Home opens at Farmers Alley Theater on Friday, June 7th. Today is Thursday, May something, 30?
30th.
30th, okay. And so we're talking a week from tomorrow, and the show runs through the 15th. I believe.
No.
My
next weekend, whatever.
Page cut off.
23rd.
Yeah. Good. There are three weekends mm-hmm. in which you have opportunities to see Fun Home. Tickets are going fast. So the website is farmersalleytheater.com, and spelled theater with an R-E at the end. This is my chance now to really ask Tony and Michelle to step up with maybe the story of how you learned about this musical, how it impacted you when you learned about it. Have you interacted with any of the creators, like Kathy has talked to the book writer? I'll start with you, Michelle. You play Alison Bechdel herself as a grown woman.
I do. I first learned about Fun Home. I can't remember if I saw. I know I did. I had listened to the album before. The album. That's how old I am. I don't know what
the
to call
CD.
It anymore.
The CD.
No, that's too late. I heard it before I saw it, and the recording of the off-Broadway company was so complete, even with dialogue, that you could really follow it, and I just was so hooked in, and I do have an interesting connection to the show, which is that Janine Tesori, who wrote the music, was the musical director of all my high school plays.
Oh, no way.
I know. Was I so lucky? I know. I can't even believe it. And she's so brilliant.
What's she like?
She's brilliant. Her brain works in a different way than any other human being I've really ever met. I was fortunate enough to teach an acting class with her. She has a camp for underprivileged girls in the summer with Idina Menzel.
She does?
Yeah, that she created with Idina and Idina's ex-husband.
Tay Diggs,
thank you. And she created this camp in the Berkshires. And so a few years ago, Janine asked me to come up there and teach an acting class with her. And it was like, it was just, I can't even explain it. I wish I could, but it was just, the way her brain works is just different. She's brilliant. She's, not only does she have music in her, but she's also a choreographer, and she's also can bring out, you know, the acting skills in kids who've never done it before. She's sort of an amazing human being. When you're with her, it feels like the sun is shining upon you.
Janine Tesori, for those who don't fully read their program guides, she's written amazing shows, including the very popular Shrek.
Mm-hmm.
She is a master of many styles and can really throw a lot of things together in a song that just seems to make the character even more enhanced in who they are. But I always pictured any composer as a bit of a loner who just sits and thinks and writes. But she's an active music director. What was she like as your high school music director?
Well, she was quite young. I mean, she was only a few years older than the students. Yeah. She was teaching us with her then husband, Keith Levinson, who's a conductor, who's currently conducting The Who on tour in concert.
Just came to Grand Rapids.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes, with a whole full symphony situation. Yeah. Yes.
So we just had this amazing team in our high school. We're just very lucky. It was a very teeny little high school in Riverdale, New York.
Did she remember you from your high school days?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've been friends since.
Okay.
Yes. And she and I bumped into each other at a wedding. This is going to sound like very like, oh, I'm going to name drop here. We were at Sutton Foster's wedding.
Okay. Well, it's a close-knit community.
It is. And Sutton's now husband was best friends with my husband. So that's how I got to know Sutton.
That's terrific.
And so I bumped into Jeanine there after many years. I hadn't seen her in many years. And then that's when she was like, oh, come, you know, help me teach at this camp and be this. I'm also... I don't know if it's worth it to talk about, but I'm also a psychotherapist.
You have a practice?
I do, for the last 15 years.
I'm having a wonderful time in this interview, learning so many things about my guest, who is Michelle Micah Berg, and is playing Alison Bechdel in Fun Home. In so many ways, you're already sort of within range of this new musical, this piece. How did you end up pursuing this role? Did you want to find a way to play it?
I did. I still act, although I don't do it as much anymore because I have this other profession that I do more, but I still love acting, and it still pulls me and calls me all the time. And I have mostly done concerts and television for the last, you know, decade or so, but I really always miss musical theater. Like, I really miss it, and particularly I miss it in the summer. I think it must be from my summer stock days. I'm not sure, but I think it's also where just my heart lies. And you know, and so this past I guess fall and winter, I was like, I am going to do a musical this summer, come hell or high water. So I just was like, I started to just look around, ask around. I knew that Fun Home would be a great, I really wanted to do Fun Home somewhere. And I really missed the boat on that one in a lot of ways because everyone did it about 2 years ago. Everybody, every small theater. So I was like, oh, I will find a theater that's doing it. And I found this theater,
Farmer's Alley Theater.
And I sent, oh, so go ahead.
Which is still, it's still a very new piece. I think it's been, there's been a college production here, maybe, at K College, probably thanks to Lisa Crone. But almost no one has seen this in Southwest Michigan. And since Farmer's Alley Theater has the kind of standards it does, that this will be... a great way to see this fresh, new, and important musical, Fun Home. I've spent a lot of time on you, Michelle. And Tony, let's bring you in and hear about your story of getting to know Fun Home. And I'd like to hear about this complicated character you're playing.
Well, I was lucky enough to... Mike Isaacson, who is one of the producers on Fun Home, is a friend of ours, Stephen Wallum's and mine, and he invited us to the press night of Fun Home on Broadway. There, Stephen and had seen the show off Broadway at the Public, where it originated, and when it was moved, when it moved to Circle in the Square Theater, we went to dinner, and then we sat in the audience and. And I had no idea what the play was about at all. I had no preconceived notions. I just walked through the door and I sat down. And Mike Isaacson so kindly said, well, why don't you sit here? And why doesn't Steven sit here? And he and his partner sat in between us. And I'm like, why is this such specific seating? Well, when the show finished, I understood why. Because half the audience just sat there dumbfounded and silent. And it packs a powerful punch. People had a difficult time walking out of that theater because it does bring up a lot of your past history, your internal history. It affects everyone. Fun Home is about everyone. It's not just about the Bechdel family. It's about, like Kathy was saying, the underpinnings of every family, you know? I related heavily to the material. There are very few roles, the older I get, that I can look at and say, I could play that part. And I was walking down the street in New York City, where it's difficult to get cast in anything these days, and a little disappointed, thinking that I would never get the opportunity to do it. And I turned to my partner and said, I would love to have the opportunity to play that part someday. And then flash forward to last year when we were doing The Producers and they announced the season here at Farmer's Alley. And I turned to Jeremy Koch and I said, so Jeremy, Fun Home, who's going to play the dad? And he said, I am. And I was like, oh, son of a gun. It's gone. And the main reason being is, if you're going to work on a musical like Fun Home, you have to trust your director. There's no way to go through this material alone with somebody that's not experienced. And there's nobody that I trust more than Kathy Mulay. She's my all-time favorite theater director. I worked with her back in CST days. And I knew that she was going to bring her unique view to the work, but she was also going to care for and provide a really safe environment to explore this work. And if you don't have that doing this type of work, you can't really do it. You can't fully invest. Bruce Bechdel's a very complicated man. And Kathy has been an amazing tour guide through the role.
At what point did you realize Jeremy wasn't going to play the role?
Well, I asserted myself. And
there's another Bruce in the town.
Yeah, there is another Bruce in town. And I said, we met for breakfast, and Kathy just turned to me. She says, why do you think you should play this role? And I said, well, Kathy, in so many words, it's my father. There are strong aspects of my own upbringing in this role. And it was important for me to work on the show because, you know, my father's been gone 25 years. And it was an opportunity for me to answer some questions that I had about our relationship. And through working through this role, I've answered so many of them. It has been beautifully cathartic and healing. And that's the wonderful thing about Fun Home, is I do feel you leave having been scrambled up like a whole bunch of eggs, but then you leave feeling whole in a way that you had not felt walking in the door. And so that's the beautiful part of playing Bruce. But I'll tell you one interesting thing about, and of course Kathy said, well, then I think you should play the part, which I was over the moon. But the wonderful thing about playing Bruce Bechdel is unlike Allison, you know, the book is written from Allison's point of view, and Kathy, all those years ago, taught me that it's my job to defend the character. So I had to kind of jump outside of the graphic novel and imagine what Bruce's like would have been. What would Bruce's graphic novel been like?
Uh-huh.
And
restoring antiques.
Exactly. But everyone has their own story, and everyone, you know, somewhere in between lies the truth, right? So I was able to do some investigative work and do some research, and it has been an embarrassment of riches, especially because there's so much source material. There's a lot to draw from. I can't say anything other than it's probably the strongest male role in a musical, in a dramatic musical in the last decade, I would easily say.
Do you have to know the book, Fun Home, to enjoy this musical?
I don't think so.
No.
I think it's everyone's story. It really is. Kathy said it's everybody's story. I agree with her 100%. You could walk through the door and you'll take the journey and you'll see yourself in some of the characters, many of the characters, if not all.
One of the things I think, Kathy, you had to concern yourself with immediately is this musical calls for multiple Allisons. So tell us how you navigated that.
Yes, we see Allison at the age of 10, college age 19, and then Alison Bechdel, the book writer, the story writer, at 43. So I started actually with Carly Koch, who I knew would be perfect for small Allison. So then I was on a journey to find two other women who were the right age and the right look, because I'm very much a visual director, and I always direct from the perspective of the audience. What am I going to believe? So I had hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of applicants for this particular show. There were so many girls to play, interested in playing medium Allison, especially. If I heard the song, I'm Changing My Major to Joan, one more time, because that was the audition piece. And so I had to, you know, these were all video auditions and resumes that came through. And I had to, first of all, flip through the resumes and the photos. And so I started just deleting probably a great number of absolutely stunning performers by their size and their look. And so I ended up coming up with three women who were incredibly talented, or the two women in addition to Carly, who looked right. And they are really, it's very cool to see how they transform from one age to the next. And Carly got taller, and I kept telling her, stop growing. Stop growing, you got too tall.
Carly happens to be your granddaughter. She also has a lot of credits already to her name. Would you tell us about some of her experience on stage as a performer?
Well, the first show she did was The Sound of Music. She played the little Gretel when she was 7 at Portage Central High School when I was directing it. And it was interesting because I wanted her to play the role, and her older brother, Jason, had just finished doing Gavroche, or no, he was about to do Gavroche in Les Mis at the Civic. And no, he had just done that. That's right. And she said, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. And so I told her mother, well, have her watch the movie, maybe, you know, and she kept saying, no, I can't do it. And we were actually at the intermission of Les Mis one evening, and she was standing next to me, and somebody came up, and we were talking, and I said, oh, I'd like to introduce you to my granddaughter, Carly. And she looked up at her, and she said, I'm going to be Gretel in The Sound of Music. And so she did that. That's and yeah.
Of course, she was in the theater, and she was saying, I can
exactly.
do that. Exactly.
Yeah. And she was delightful and very brave. She has gone on to do a couple of other performances at Portage Central since I retired. With the new director, she was the little, what's Shrek's girl's name?
Fiona.
Fiona. She was little Fiona, and she was also the daughter in Funny, Funny. You just did it last Christmas.
Chitty Chitty.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Yeah, and actually she was in Farmer's Alley production last fall as the young Judy Garland.
And she was also in, not Mame, not Hello Dolly, but the stripper one.
Gypsy.
Oh, Gypsy. Yeah, she played Dainty June. Yeah, so she has quite a few credits to her name, and we're all very proud of her. And, of course, her mom and dad, you know, are founders of the theater, and mm-hmm. she's got it in her blood.
She comes by her talent pretty honestly.
I got to say, when I got there and I heard Carly sing for the first time, I was really blown away. You know, I didn't know what to expect from this theater in Kalamazoo. I had no idea. And everyone is so talented and so professional. And Carly is incredibly special and very natural and just great instincts and just a beautiful, pure voice.
That's so nice to hear.
And the kindest kid you'll ever meet.
Oh, yeah.
Incredibly kind. The ego is non-existent. She will do anything to help you. Off stage, she feeds me my lines half the time. She says, okay, you're going. This is your scene. You're doing this. I'm like, thank you. Not only is she playing young Allison, she's also my personal assistant. But she's so gracious and kind, and that's lovely to see. And someone so young.
If you've just tuned in, I'm with two of the lead cast members of Fun Home, which the production begins June 7th, a week from tomorrow at Farmers Alley Theater. Also with director Kathy Mulay, actor Tony Humrickhauser, and actor Michelle Micah Berg. And we have just been singing the praises of young Carly Koch. And let's take a short musical break. I think we'll hear a song called Ring of Keys. Who sings this? Is this a group number?
This is the number Carly sings in the show, so that's perfect timing.
Oh, good. All right, let's have a listen, and we'll be back and learn more about Fun Home at Farmers Alley Theater.
You didn't notice her at first, but I saw her the moment she walked in. She was a delivery woman. She came in with a handcart full of packages. She was an old school butch.
Someone just came in the door, like no one I ever saw before. I feel I don't know where you came from. I wish I did. I found boots and your keys.
We just heard Ring of Keys from Fun Home, the 2015 musical, which is coming to Farmers Alley Theater a week from tomorrow. I'm with director Kathy Mulay and Tony Humrickhauser, who plays Bruce Bechtel, and Michelle Micah Berg plays Allison Bechtel, and who also revealed that she is a psychotherapist.
Yes.
I'm thinking of so many ways in which these two professions are actually wonderfully integrated. Can we talk about crushes? Have we all had this almost shaky, embarrassing young life crush that here we're listening to the young Allison having? These feelings are so universal, and when you're talking to a client, I mean, about feelings they don't think are normal, can you kind of draw from aspects of acting and roles to say, look, this is universal?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's really important that in Ring of Keys, it's not really a crush. What she's seeing is it's about more identity. She's seeing something in this person that she's never seen before that feels like it feels right to her. It's something that feels like this is me, but she can't put it into words. It feels like something that she's just never seen before, but she knows that it's important to her, and she knows it's probably part of her in some way. Is that how mm-hmm. you guys would describe it?
Yeah. She recognizes her feelings from inside visually, because she's at odds all the time with her father, who constantly wants to make her feminine. And she sees a woman who is not, who has got a butch haircut and is dressed more like a man.
And has a ring of keys.
And has a ring of keys.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that that song, if you look at the graphic novel on that panel where she actually, Allison actually saw that woman, that delivery woman, I just think it's amazing that Lisa Crone zoomed in on this tiny little tiny part of the picture, which was a ring of keys, and made an entire song about it. Pretty amazing.
That, I think that's the whole show. Isn't it amazing that I'm amazed that they were able to translate a visual image into music. I mean, that's pretty remarkable.
And it took them 7 years.
Well, they took just the right amount of time
to
come out with a terrific piece. I should note that this is played through from beginning to end with no intermission, correct?
Right.
Correct.
90 minutes of story.
And so much of it is underscored. I think it's really interesting. Sam Gold, who was the director on Broadway, and Janine and Lisa decided that this was really more a play with music. They wanted it to feel like a play with music rather than a musical. So the music is incredibly integrated. And Sam Gold kept asking Janine to compose additional music that goes under the dialogue. And the music just drives the characterization and the feeling that they're feeling so brilliantly. And yes, it's played straight through. It's about 100 minutes without intermission.
Mm-hmm. So I misheard or I mischaracterized the Ring of Keys, thinking it was the young girl with a new crush. But she does have crushes later on.
She surely does.
In college. again, there's a way to, even though it's a very specific story with, you know, unusual family situation, it only helps kind of draw you in and make you relate.
Well, especially in this town, you know, here we are at Western Michigan University, and how many, over the years, how many Allisons have we encountered here in the community? It's wonderful to watch. You're reminded of times when you, even here as a student myself, or even after, when you watch people discover who they are, and socially, for some reason, we never mention it, we observe it. And so it's interesting that the college perspective in this show is relevant to the community, I think.
The time environment plays an important part. Allison and her father grew up in different decades. He was born in
36,
that's right. So it would have been in the 1950s had he been able to act upon who he really was. But at that time, gay people were meant to hide who they were. They were unaccepted. There was something wrong with you if you were gay. Whereas Allison, in 1979, 1980, following the feminine revolution, following Stonewall, the activity that happened in New York City where the gay people, it was a big event, and people were able to start expressing who they are. So Allison is growing up in a period of time where she can be more open. And had Bruce's life been later, Allison reflects on maybe what her dad's life would have been like, would have been completely different. And then she also realizes she probably never would have been born. But it's seeing how far we really have come. And I think it's also telling in how far we have come to be able to put a play on Broadway that stars a lesbian woman. That's a first. And that is very historical.
And a protagonist, which is lovely, right?
Right. I mean, there had been a couple of other shows like Rent, where you had a gay woman, but they weren't the major part of the story.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important, sort of going back to what you had asked me a little bit a while ago about I think it's so important that people be able to see themselves in media, you know. And I think that when Fun Home came to light, I think that so many young women finally saw themselves for the first time on a stage reflected back, and it was so meaningful, and the amount of letters and, you know, the amount of activity online about, I can't believe that I'm actually seeing myself. It's so vital that people see themselves reflected in media and in the world.
It was interesting in that Michael Servers, who's friends with Steve, my partner, he talked to us after the show, and he was flabbergasted at the amount of people that would wait for them after the show and have the need not necessarily to talk about the show, but their relationship to the show. And so they would spend hours in the lobby after the show with the audience members, basically saying, this is my story, let me share my story with you. And so it was, you're right, it was really important for people to see themselves represented on stage and then be able to talk about it after.
Oh, yeah.
Why the message boards blew up, I'm sure. And
the other thing, though,
it was therapy.
Yeah. On the other hand, as I said, it's nothing like your family, but everything like your family. I think everyone can relate to this production. It helps create a lot of understanding, I think, which is very important. But who should see this show? I can tell you that you won't identify with it unless you are a mother, a father, a son, or a daughter. In other words, everyone. Yeah. It is a show for everyone. And Michelle said something very, very interesting to me. Tell them what Janine told you about Joy.
Well, there was an interview that I saw with the creators of the show, and the interviewer asked everyone in the show, including the creators, to say, just if you have one word to describe the show, what would it be? And Janine said the word joy. And I was like, wow, you know, that's true. There's so much actual joy in the show, the discovery, the first love, the seeing yourself for the first time going, oh my God, yes, I get it. That's who I want to be. That's who I am. And then there's even joy for older Allison in, I think that when people make sense of their story, they can find freedom from their past. And I think that's what happens to Allison here, is that she is trying so hard to figure out what happened. And I think that, you know, sort of relating back to psychotherapy, because that's also my world, that I really think that's such a crucial part of mental well-being, is making sense of your story.
The story that you can't quite figure out when you're young,
right?
Because you're immature and you don't know all the moving pieces.
Yeah. Megan O'Callaghan from New York City is playing Medium Allison, and she gets to have all of the fun parts in Fun Home because it is that period in her life where she is discovering first love. And first love is first love, no matter who it is, and discovering those moments. And she's just absolutely brilliant in the role. In fact, this is the third time she has played Medium Allison, and she loves the role so much, and she's just incredible and a wonderful singer as well as a wonderful actress and a lovely person as well. In fact, this entire cast is just bonded so great. It's just wonderful. Yeah.
Should we talk at all about design and lighting and costumes and things like
well,
that?
Well, I'm very excited to have my very, very dear friend Lee Buchholz design the set for this. Lee is a professional producer and director who lives in Louisville, Kentucky, and grew up here in Portage. And I've known Lee since he was 14 years old. And he started designing scenery for me years ago in my high school programs. And he's a brilliant designer and a wonderful friend. And, you know, in New York, when they did this show, they had a lot of elevators, hydraulics, bringing furniture up from the floor.
Oh, wow.
You know, when they did this at Circle in the Round, in the round, and the audience was all around them, you know, things were coming up out of the floor. And I thought, okay, how am I going to do that? Because we move from lots of locations back and forth. In fact, in the play, we move. It's not a linear progression. It's Allison's thoughts, memories of when she was 10, when she was 19, and back to 10. And we're going from the funeral home to New York City, Greenwich Village. We're going back to the Bechtel house. So we're moving constantly. And what I didn't want is my actors pushing furniture around trying to get there. So Lee designed a set with what we call a donut turntable. So things are coming in and whirling. And it's kind of the sense behind the design is that her memories are kind of whirling around in her head. And so things appear. You know how you're thinking about one thing and then suddenly it makes you think of something else? So we've tried to create that in the design. And so Allison is actually perched in her studio in Vermont, which is where Allison Bechtel actually lives. And she's remembering and looking down, and she comes into the action and interacts in many ways as she's watching her own story unfold. And it really, really is a brilliant design. I'm working with Laura Cornish for the first time as our lighting designer. Laura designs the lights here at Western for the dance department. And so far we're having a lovely experience in that respect as well.
Wonderful. Fun Home opens a week from tomorrow. It's a 90-minute, or 100-minute.
Yeah, between 90 and 100.
Yeah, depending on how the tempos are on any given night. It's music and story, and it's fresh. It's something you've never seen before in West Michigan. And the details, I should tell listeners again, FarmersAlleyTheater.com is where you can find ticket prices, dates. Of course, the location is downtown at Farmers Alley Theater. So it's an intimate theater. And, you know, I've always found that the closer I get to the actors, the more completely kind of poleaxed I am by scenes, and the thrill of it is really something. When to watch a person transform, person I've talked to, like here on the radio, you know, and then I realize I didn't get to know them at all. What they can really do when that talent comes out, it's absolutely revelatory. So.
Kara, I should also mention that Cole Abode is our music director. And this is the first time he's working with us at Farmers Alley, and he's doing an incredible job.
Yes, I'm Catherine Walker, the mm-hmm. University of Michigan Music Theater music director. She sent over one of her proteges, right?
That's correct.
To handle this production. So that's really exciting for the theater and for Cole.
Absolutely.
Like this. Yeah. You know what? We managed to use up a lot of our hour. I'd like to play another excerpt before we go, and I can say that Rob suggested Come to the Fun Home, Change My Major, Raincoat of Love, or Telephone Wire.
I think Come to the Fun Home.
No, of course.
Okay, yeah. We'll hear that, and then hopefully we'll maybe get to another one, but we'll be right back with Tony and Michelle and Kathy. I'm getting a real Jackson 5 vibe from that moment. A Fun Home. Can we explain all the multiple children's voices in that scene?
The three Bechtel children. It's Allison at 10, and then it's Christian and little John. And they're doing a commercial. They're playing in the caskets, which they're not supposed to be doing, and pretending to do a commercial for the funeral home.
Okay. Well, we're in the last few minutes of our hour here together to preview Fun Home at Farmer's Alley Theater. And, you know, we just kind of got started. I feel like we talked about how this piece is a memoir by Alison Bechdel, a real person who wrote a graphic novel, Fun Home. And it was adapted over the course of 7 years by Lisa Crone, who is a K College grad, and music by Janine Tesori. It's a piece that has many firsts that go along with it, even surprisingly, you know, having a woman lesbian lead is first time on Broadway, really?
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. We've talked about, we know that, I think our audience knows by now that there are some really complicated relationships here, and there's a reflective look to it, that it's also funny.
It is funny.
I think I'll have to leave it in your hands to share final thoughts on this piece with our listeners. And I'll start with our guest coming from the furthest distance. That's Michelle Micah Berg, who lives in Los Angeles and is here to play grown-up Alison Bechdel. What do you have to say at the end of this hour here?
I would say just what Janine said, there's so much joy in this show. It's obviously very meaningful, but it also is really funny and just a great experience. I really, that's why I came so far to do it, because it's such an amazing show.
Tony?
The show was developed at the Public in a small space, small proscenium space, and it was so popular, that's when it transferred to Broadway. But I think the show itself is intended for a smaller space. And I think the Farmer's Alley space is perfect for this show, because I think it is being performed in a venue that it was intended to be performed in. We were just talking about proximity. Proximity is really important. And with this show, I think the audiences are in for a special treat, particularly in the space itself. It's such a beautiful show. I can't say anything more about it, but I think Kalamazoo audiences are in for a treat seeing it in a venue that it was probably the size of a venue that it was intended for.
And let's hear from Kathy. Finally.
Well, this is my favorite kind of show. I love it when it's a true story. Those are my favorite kinds of shows to direct. And the other joy for me is my daughter, Deneen, is playing Helen, Bruce Bechdel's wife. And Tony and Deneen, years ago, did West Side Story.
30 years ago.
And Evita together. And so this is an opportunity after all these years for the two of them to be on stage together. And it's so comfortable, it kind of fits like a glove. And it's a real joy to watch.
Yeah, wow. Very blessed.
I should make a graphic novel about that.
Oh, really?
Well, the news is next here on WMUK, but before we go, we'll listen to a little more from the soundtrack and remind listeners that Farmer's Alley Theater is online at farmersalleytheater.com. And Fun Home begins a week from tomorrow, Friday, June 7th, and continues for 3 weekends. Thank you, Kathy, Tony, and Michelle.
Thank you.
Telephone wire, run and run. Telephone wire, sundown on the creek. Partly frozen, partly flowing. Must be windy, trees are bending. Junction 50, field needs mowing. Field